Good evening and welcome to our Carols by Candlelight service. Just before we start, a few words of explanation. This is the first time that worship group have led Carols by Candlelight, and so it's going to be slightly different. Most things will just kind of happen. Words for all the hymns and songs will appear on the screen. Normally we stand for them, but if you don't feel up to standing, that's fine. Sit down, do whatever you're comfortable with. Nobody will be telling you that bit. There will be a number of acts, dramas, spread out through the service, and we will just announce very briefly where and when the act is set before it happens, so you can get a handle on it. Otherwise, health and safety, mind the candles. They are your own responsibility. And enjoy this service. And I hope that the bits that are a bit different this year will show you something a bit different about God. Our call to worship are some words by Mac Lusardo. At Advent, we are invited to immerse ourselves in hope. Biblical hope is not wishful thinking. It's the unmistakable confidence that God can be trusted. It's the belief that God is always at work for our good. It's the assurance the promises of God are true, even while we're still waiting for their fulfillment. And because our hope is certain, we wait patiently, not fretfully, trusting that God is already at work to provide the light we seek, the help we need, and the deliverance we long for. So, in the words of the Psalms, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Come and worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him now with joyful songs, for we watch in hope for our Lord. So we start our service by singing Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Thank you.
We're going to start with a prayer of gathering, which is a prayer that was written for the longest night, and we're not far away from that today. So let us pray. Tonight we gather here in this place of refuge, for we are lost, we are lonely, we are afraid. Tonight we gather, daring to wonder if God has indeed come in Jesus, discerning the rejection we have known, intimate with our failed relationships, holding our heartache in hands of tenderness. Tonight we gather with neighbours and strangers, a family made one by our brokenness, with our hearts full of hope and maybe our heads filled with doubts. Tonight we gather just as we are, for God has promised to meet us here and to welcome us for who we are. Tonight a voice is speaking. Can we hear it? I know the cares and the anxious thoughts of your hearts. I know the hard time you often give yourselves. I know the hopes and ambitions you have for yourselves and for others. I know your doubts too, even while you seek to express your belief. Tonight, I want to find a way of saying to you, you are deeply, deeply loved, just as you are, forgiven, loved, and challenged to be the very best you can be. So I'm speaking to you in the only way I know how, from a stable, from a manger, in a child born into poverty, soon to grow to maturity, born to show you, in a human life, the love of God. Amen. And our next song reminds us that just as it was long, long ago, the world can still be a dark place that needs Christ to come into it.
Thank you. not fair. This has been the worst day of my life. I can't believe I was fired. I thought my computer job was secure. My future was so bright. Now I'm a has-been. I've been downsized. I suppose I'll have to take Megan's Christmas present back. She won't want to marry me now. Why me? It's so unfair. Oh, I can't listen to that now. What have I got to rejoice about? There's loads of people wanting jobs. It's going to be impossible for me to find one. Computers is all I know, and they don't want those workers now. And to think this is the season to rejoice. Not for me. There's no hope for me at all. What am I going to do? Perhaps I could watch something on TV. Frosty the Snowman or It's a Wonderful Life. I don't think so. Perhaps I could read something. Well, what do you know? The Bible my mother gave me when I left home. She was always preaching to me about Jesus, but I never listened. I never even opened this Bible. Maybe she was right. Maybe there's hope for me in here.
Thank you.
on the outskirts of Bethlehem. You know, my arms still ache from all the work I did yesterday.
Oh, mine too. We work so hard for our husbands, and yet they don't appreciate what we do.
You would think water ran right into my house, the way my family use it.
Yeah.
Has it been hard for you to learn how to care for Benjamin and his children?
Oh, yes. I thought it would be wonderful to have a husband and children, but I never realised how hard wives work. Every day it's the same thing. Carry water, keep the fire going, bake the bread, feed the little ones, mend the clothes.
Well, you'd better get used to it, because that's what you're going to be doing for the rest of your life.
You're not much more than a child yourself, you know. Perhaps soon you'll have a little one of your own.
I know that little ones are a gift from God, so I'd welcome another one to care for. Maybe God will choose me to be the mother of the Messiah. My grandfather used to tell me that he would be born here, in Bethlehem.
Oh, you don't believe those old tales about God sending a saviour, do you?
Well, yes. My grandfather told me about the Messiah every night at bedtime. The Holy Scriptures tell how he will come from heaven and make our lives better. There'll be no more hard work.
Some of us think that those ancient writers just made that story up to give the people something to look forward to.
Yes, yeah, that story was meant to comfort our people during their captivity in Babylon. It was a hard time for them, but it's only a story.
No, I'm sure it's not just a story. My grandfather said God himself helped the ancient men to write the scriptures. They wrote the truth. They didn't make up stories. God will send his Messiah.
Well, you can look forward to the Messiah if you want to, but I'm not going to waste my time. People have been looking for a saviour for hundreds of years, and he's not come yet.
You'll change your mind when you grow older. The Holy Scriptures are beautiful to listen to, but they don't apply to today.
Dreamer, you're wise up.
Oh God, I do believe that you'll send a Messiah to save us, and I'm looking forward to that wonderful day.
3. Just outside an inn in Bethlehem. The inn is owned by Simon the innkeeper, and he has some Roman and Jewish visitors.
It sure is crowded tonight in Bethlehem. I hope we can find a room in an inn.
Let's try this one. Maybe it's not filled yet.
Do you want a room, sir?
Yes, we do.
I'm sorry, but I can only accommodate two more travellers. As long as I've had this inn, I've never had so many people knock on my door in one evening.
You men, move on and find rooms for yourselves. Claudius and I will stay here.
Why you? We're just as important as you in this registering and taxing process. And besides, we're Jews. You're Romans. Move aside and let us go in.
I will not. You might be Jews, but we know the people hate you tax collectors as much as they hate us. Now go.
We are not moving. There might not be another room available tonight. As the innkeeper has said, this town is full of travellers.
Maybe you'll have to sleep on the ground. Of course, you are too soft to be able to do that.
You miserable Roman!
Get out of here, you scum, or you will not see the sunrise tonight.
Thomas, do not be foolish. We can find another inn. You can't fight a Roman soldier and win.
I knew they would see it my way.
Now, about that room.
Yes, certainly, come in.
The best room you have, and the charges better be fair.
Yes, definitely.
Thomas, what were you thinking? You could have been killed.
I know, but it angers me that the Romans have taken over our land. Even though I am working for Rome, I cannot stand the Romans.
I agree, but what can we do?
We can look for the promised Messiah. He will be a mighty soldier. When he comes, we will have victory over the Romans.
Do you really think God cares about us anymore? He has allowed our country to be taken over by foreigners. We're no longer free. We're all scared.
He does care for us. We are his chosen people, and he will rescue us. I know he will.
Thank you.
4. A hillside on the outskirts of Bethlehem.
Ever seen them before?
They are beautiful tonight, Grandfather.
Is there something bothering you, Granddaughter?
Oh, well, yes.
You can tell me about it.
When I went into Bethlehem today to get some cheese and bread from home, a group of boys laughed at me. They made fun of my old cloak, and they said I smelled bad, like sheep.
People have always made fun of us shepherds, even though we do an important job guarding the sheep.
They chased me all the way home. They were going to throw stones at me. But I ducked inside the door just in time.
Next time they start to tease you, remind them our great King David was a shepherd boy, and our patriarchs, Isaac and Jacob. They had wives who were shepherd girls, just like you.
I was too scared to do anything or to say anything. Grandfather, please tell me about the Messiah again.
Of course, Rachel. Our holy scriptures tell us that God will send his son. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He will reign on David's throne.
Does that mean the Messiah will like shepherds, Grandfather?
Oh, yes. The Messiah will love all the people of the earth, rich and poor, important or not. In fact, our scriptures say the Messiah will care for his people as a shepherd cares for his sheep.
Oh, that's comforting. Do you think God will send the Messiah while we're alive?
Oh, I hope so, but I don't know. I've been looking for him my whole lifetime. Now I'm getting old and...
Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger.
Thank you.
those real angels, Grandfather? Or was I dreaming?
They were real angels. Imagine, God sent his angels to announce Messiah's birth to us poor shepherds.
Let us hurry to Bethlehem and find him.
Yes.
According to the first entry in the Chambers Dictionary, the word ho means to call excited attention, to announce a destination, or to express exultation. So, obviously, quite appropriate to begin a talk in church. But when you see three in a row, like on the front of the lectern, you tend to think of something a bit more seasonal. According to another dictionary, ho, ho, ho is onomatopoeia for laughter, especially when associated with Santa Claus. Another seasonal website I found even provides an illustration. Apparently, ho, 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 also known as H3O3, is a rare element first discovered at the North Pole by Santa Claus. It is a pure molecular structure of jolliness, and it's one of the elements that helps to spread the spirit of Christmas around the world. Ho, ho, ho is also described as the happiness in seeing joy in other people. Now, whichever definition you prefer, I am going to use ho, ho, ho to begin three words that I've picked out from the dramas that we've seen and which we might apply to ourselves. So, the first word, I am going to add the French. The French. Apologies if you're French. To give you the word hole. Now, to be in a hole is to be in a difficult situation. And in all of those little dramas that we saw, all of those acts, there were some characters that were in a hole of some sort. In Act One, that modern young man in his living room was in the hole of having just lost his job. He was now worried. There was the possibility of being rejected by his girlfriend to whom he was about to propose. He was anxious about whether he'd still be employable. He felt that life wasn't fair. He felt unwanted. In that moment, all his current hopes and dreams had been shattered. In Act Two, there were three women by the well, and they were in a hole of the daily grind of their lives. They ached from all their physical chores, the seeming monotony of fetching water, tending the fire, cooking, childcare, sewing, for husbands who apparently didn't appreciate them. Linda and I didn't mean anything with the conviction with which we said those words. That was pure acting. For a long time, those women had felt stuck and resigned to all those hardships of every day. In Act Three, there were those two dubious-looking tax collectors who, although working with the Romans, collecting money in the census, were actually in a hole as well because they were being bullied and even threatened by some very mean soldiers. They were abused by their bosses. They were hated by their fellow countrymen for their apparent collaboration, and they were angry that their home country was an occupied nation. So currently they were scared with no control over their future, as if they'd been forgotten by God. And in Act Four, those shepherds on the hillside, they were sharing the whole of their situation. People made fun of them just because of who they were, just because they were shepherds. They were picked on, They were laughed at, they were name-called, they were teased, they nearly were stoned. And this had just been going on for ages because now it went with the job. For generations they'd been outcasts and chased away by everyone around them. Now each of those holes, those situations, still exist today. Perhaps it's time for some honest, heartfelt self-examination, because some of us may feel that we have been in, or are perhaps still in, similar holes. Have you ever felt unfairly rejected or unwanted? Have your hopes and dreams ever been shattered? Are you ever fed up with the dull monotony of every day and feel taken for granted but stuck? Are you being put upon from above and below? Do you feel scared or forgotten? Do you live in any way like an outcast? Have you ever just felt, well, I'm the lowest of the low because I'm me? And if you've answered yes to any of those questions, for now, recently, long ago, or what seems like forever, keep listening, because there are some other words coming up just for you. So, a hole. You can be in one. Or you can have one in you. A gap, a void, an empty space inside you, perhaps in your heart, that's waiting and longing to be filled. Which brings us to our second word. This time I'm going to add a pound. To give you the word hold. Now hold means to have or to keep or to retain to yourself. And in each of those dramas we had, someone was holding on to something. In Act 1, the young man, Matt, was literally holding a Bible at the end. He'd intentionally picked it off the bookcase because in his head, and perhaps his heart, he held on to an idea he remembered for his mum, but that he confessed he never listened to. There was something about God's word, something about the Jesus she preached, that might provide the answer to the whole of his situation. In Act 2, by the well, one of the women, Martha, held on to the tale passed down from her grandparents that one day the Messiah, God's Saviour, would be born in their town of Bethlehem. The other women were sceptical. That story had been around for hundreds of years. They'd given up on it and moved on. But Martha thought the scriptures were worth holding on to. For her, the words were true, and she excitedly looked forward to the arrival of a Messiah who will come and save from the whole of their present situation. And in Act 3, Thomas, one of the tax collectors, he encouraged his friend Jude to hold on to and to look for the promised Messiah. For him, it was going to be a sign that God still cared for his chosen people and that the Messiah would have victory over all their oppressors, take away their fear and rescue them. Thomas was certain of it. The Messiah will free them from the whole of their present situation. And in that final act, Act 4, Rachel asks her grandfather to tell her again that story. She holds on to the fact that the Messiah will actually like shepherds and even be like a shepherd himself. As her grandfather says, he will love all the people of the earth, rich or poor, important or not. And the holding on gives her comfort. She can't wait. And yet she can wait until it becomes real. And then she's lifted from the whole of her present situation. So here's a question for you to think about. What are you holding on to? Is it still just a bit of a something from the past? Or is it a true promise for the future? Is it something you keep hold of when all those around you have given up on it? Will you keep holding on to it? And for how long? And against what opposition? And are you absolutely certain of it? For you, is it real? Because what you hold can change your whole perspective on life and on yourself. Here is a reflection, a word from the manger.
Me, utilitarian, functional, you could even say in summary, tough and ready. I'm hard too, hard working, hard wearing, hard bitten. I have to be, outside all year round, in all weathers, toughing it. Unmoving, unyielding, unchanging, no highs and lows, no peaks, only troughs. And I'm cold. Cold-hearted, cold storage, left out in the cold, cold as stone. Well, that's because I am stone. So I have all the characteristics of my genealogy, my geology, the block of stone I was cut from all those years ago. Not so much a chip off, more like a dirty great boulder. Yes, dirty. That's what I am. Untidy, unwashed, unclean, filthy through and through, on the outside coarse and rude, stained with soil and rust and dung, and blotched with scabby patches of moss and lichen, on the inside dry and dusty, filled with dead disintegrating grass and anointed with cow dribble and donkey snot. Not a pretty sight. And I'm broken. Oh, I can still hold the hay all right, but I'm damaged goods. There's what you can see. Bits missing, chunks broken off. I'm worn down, chips and gouges from years of wear and tear. Then there's what you can't see. The cracks, the internal splits, the lines of weakness, the instability of my structure. I've been battered and bruised, beaten and kicked into submission. Sometimes it's a struggle just to hold myself together, a manger in danger of falling apart and literally going to pieces. Still, I sit here in the middle of this dingy, drafty stable, incomplete, with an open door, day after day, night after night, year after year, always the same, hay in, used and abused, hay out, empty and alone. Most of the time I'm unoccupied, unfilled, unfulfilled, with a void, a hole in my heart. And that's how it was for ages. But one night, that night, it was different. For me, everything changed. It was late. A young couple came in. They went and sat in the corner. There was a lot of noise. Brief, snatched conversation, quick, forced breaths, short, agonized cries, and then soft, relieved voices, long, happy sighs, and a gentle gurgling. The man came over and brushed out my depression. He put in handfuls of fresh hay and then placed in my grasp a tightly cloth-wrapped bundle. I received it. I lifted it up off the ground. I contained it within, safely enclosed. I cradled it around, sheltered from the night breeze. I was holding a baby. I was holding the baby. I'm a feeding trough. I'm used to being filled and then taken from for feeding others. I am not used to being filled and then given to, me being fed. This newborn child that I was now embracing was changing me. As I kept hold of him, I experienced extraordinary. Somehow he began to transform me. For the first time, I felt softer, warmer, cleaner, stronger, whole. It was as if the light and love he emanated not only filled my hollowed center, but permeated my entire solidity, healed me, renewed me, completed me, basic to beautiful, practical to perfect, trough to temple. As a stone, a detached piece of rock, I'm not naturally prone to emotion, but having hold of that baby, the baby Jesus, and keeping him so close, made me feel chosen, precious, alive, as if I were an actual living stone, longing to cry out with pure joy, a trough blessed, a manger full of hay!
And so we come to our third word. This time we're going to add some exercise. Hope. To anticipate. To desire something good. To have confidence in something. To believe with the possibility of fulfillment. And again, each one of those little acts had a glimmer of hope in it, which grew with successive scenes. Act one went from someone not wanting to rejoice or even hear the word rejoice because they had no hope at all to someone opening a Bible and thinking, maybe I can find hope here. Could that be you? Act two had someone left on her own whispering in secret up to heaven, oh God, I do believe you will send a Messiah to save us. To save me. Could that be you? Act 3 ended with Thomas declaring, God does care for us. He will rescue us. I know he will. Is that your hope? And Act 4 contained that angel telling the wondering shepherds good news of great joy for all people, a Saviour, Christ the Lord, born to you, and lying in a manger. Is that where your hope lies? In the manger? Perhaps you too could even be the manger. How do you be a manger? This is my Christmas prayer for you, that you will be a manger. I pray that you will be empty, empty of all the clutter and distraction of life, empty to receive the newborn Christ. I pray that you will be sturdy, sturdy to bear your personal and secret burdens, sturdy to bear the presence of God within. I pray that you will be soft inside for the healing embrace of yourself and others, soft inside to give God a place in peace. I pray that you will be still, still to attend the cries of the poor, still to attend the whisper of God's prompting voice. And I pray that you will be ready, ready to receive whatever God's gifts for you are, and ready to use your gifts for whatever God calls you to. Ho! Excite attention. Christ the Saviour is born for each and every one of us. Ho! Announce a destination. Emmanuel, God is with us, right here, right now, within us. Ho! Express exultation. Sing a new song of great joy for all people. Let everyone know. This Christmas, become like ho, 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 one of the elements helping to spread the spirit of Christmas around the world. and this Christmas, no matter what kind of hole you may or may not be in, I ask you to consider allowing Jesus, the Messiah, the hope of the ages, the hope of the nations, to come in and fill the hole in you, and to hold on to all the hope he brings. Because, as worship group are about to sing, Christmas is just the beginning of his story. In Bethlehem, and the scriptures open.
Praise God, I'm blessed to see the Messiah in my own eyes.
Praise God, the Prince of Peace has come.
But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from the old, from ancient times. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty and name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace.
Praise God. I knew he would not forget his people.
The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness.
Praise God. I knew it was true. God has sent a saviour.
She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Praise God! He gives us hope by sending us his son.
Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope.
In answer to our searching and our fear of being alone, God entered human history in the person of his Son. The word that brought the world to be was heard in Galilee. The voice that said, "Let there be light," cried out on Calvary. The feet that danced when time began now walked in dust and blood. The hand that formed the galaxies was nailed to a cross of wood. For God said, I am with you. I came in flesh and bone to show you that I love you, and you will never be alone.
Let us pray. Come, God, with us, who braves our rejection and hurt, who holds us in acceptance and love. Come, God, for us, who whispers in our ears that we, each of us, are beloved children. Come, God, under us, who cradles us in arms that never grow weary, whose lap has room enough for all. Come, God, over us, who watches in the long silence of the night, that we might rest in peace. Come, God, beside us, who steadies us when we falter, who lifts us up when we fall. Come, God, behind us, who picks up all the faded dreams we drop along the way and patchworks them into hope. Come, O come, Emmanuel, and we will rejoice forever. Amen. And whether you've stood before or not, have a go this time, because we stand to sing our final hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful, after which can you stay standing because there will be a blessing. go. A reminder that there are refreshments outside on your way, so please, on your way, stop and feast and chat. And after the dismissal, the worship group are going to stay and sing you out, and you can either stay in or go out while they're singing. Okay? So a blessing. The light of the Christmas star to you, the warmth of home and hearth to you, the cheer and goodwill of friends to you, the hope of a childlike heart to you, the joy of a thousand angels to you, the love of the Son and God's peace to you. Emmanuel, the Lord has come to us, and so we go, taking joy to the world. Amen.